there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. On this podcast, our goal is just to simply show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we just hope that you're helped by this current series from the book of Joshua. What we've called it is Don't Be Afraid to Follow God. So let's just take a second, sit back, and hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to the podcast. And I certainly appreciate you joining in today, still with Hannah, and enjoying these latter chapters in the book of Joshua.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's kind of sad, though. I mean, it's like your favorite main character in the movie, you know, it's coming to an end. And
coming to an end.
Yeah, here's Joshua giving his final words, cue the sad music, you know.
I know. It's he's well past 100 years of age. And the Bible describes him as old and well stricken in years. And there's just, I don't know, I have a soft spot for just an old weathered veteran who is loves the Lord and wants to, you know, give you advice. I hope he wouldn't mind my saying this, but you know, I think of Dr. Sisk. Yeah. And I love Dr. Don Sisk he's the best. I love him. I just love every time he talks, I just feel as if I want to hang on every word that he says. Right. And he has that laugh, you know. I'm not doing it right. But
Kill can do it for you when he comes back. He does it pretty well.
Yeah, but that's the sense I get with Joshua here in chapter 23. Because in chapter 23, he meets with the leadership. And then in chapter 24, which is the last chapter in the book, he meets with all the people, but in both chapters, what he's doing is he's sharing his last words. And anytime somebody that's lived for the Lord is sharing his last piece of advice, well, we ought to perk our ears up a little bit more carefully. Recently, I spoke to our church family about Jesus' last words, really, to his disciples. At least humanly speaking, he appeared to them, obviously, after the resurrection. But before his death on the cross, it was the upper room. It was John 13, John 14, John 15, John 16, the prayer in John 17. And what a power-packed section of the Bible. I think about the last words of the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 4, really the entire book, if you want to go there. And how vital they are to our thinking, last words. So here are the last words of Joshua. And he specifically wants to speak to the leadership. And I think inherent in that speech is this thought of, as goes the leadership, so goes the organization. Would you agree with that, Hannah?
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I mean, I think it's evidence in Joshua's leading. Obviously, they had their ups and downs, but for the most part, Israel under Joshua's leadership thrived and really took upon his courage for the Lord.
So chapter 23, he calls the leaders together in verse 1. It says he's old and well stricken in years. He calls for all of them. And he says, you've seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. The Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. So he kind of begins his speech to the leaders by saying, hey guys, you've seen what I've seen. And what we've both seen is that we've won some great battles, but God did this. And sometimes in victory and blessing, if we're not careful, we forget the fact that God did it. And we'll start saying, well, this is Babylon that I have made. That was Nebuchadnezzar's mistake. Or we'll talk about, this is the church that I have built, or this is the ministry that I run, or this is the family that... And we've got to remember that God is the one that has done it. As we have followed him, he has graciously used us. But Joshua's really helping his leaders to have a perspective check, isn't he? And then he says, behold, I've divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. In other words, guys, I've given you a land. God has used me to give you a land. And that land still includes some work. Remember, the Canaanites still dwelt in pockets of the land. And the sad thing is that future generations, we read that in the book of Judges, allowed the Canaanites to coexist with them, and they became a snare, just as this chapter of scripture warns. So I guess I'm talking this particular episode. I'm talking to you leaders. I'm talking to you moms, you dads, those of you that maybe are in ministry leadership or even in lay leadership. We have a high and lofty responsibility and accountability before the Lord. And there are some things that we need to especially think about and be aware of in our leadership of people. And so Joshua says to them, first of all, in verse 5, the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you, drive them out from of your sight. Ye shall possess their land. In other words, God's been fighting for you. He's won some battles for you. He'll continue to do that. But here's the warning, if you will. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and do all that's written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. Isn't it interesting that the beginning of the book of Joshua, there's a job to be done, and God says, Joshua, be strong and courageous. At the end of the book of Joshua, there's a job to be done, and Joshua says to the next runners of the race, those that will receive the baton, be strong, be courageous. In other words, every generation needs to be challenged by the same truths. Is that not true?
I'd say so. We're all humans. We struggle with the same things.
And the strength and courage that Joshua wishes for them is because, verse 7, that you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves down unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. In other words, the number one thing you have to guard is your own relationship with God. Because as you coexist with the world around you, it's easy to worship what they worship, to allow their gods to be your gods, to forget about the fidelity that you're supposed to have to the Lord God. And boy, has there ever been a more relevant teaching for our generation?
Yeah, it's good.
I mean, how easy it is for us to allow the idols of this world, those who live near us and among us, to guide our priorities, to guide our passions. And if we're not careful, you know, we'll be just as passionate about. And sometimes the idol in and of itself doesn't seem to be an object of worship, but anything that takes my passion and time that ought to belong to God away is an ensnaring idol to me. And God says, be careful of that. You're not of them. You're of me. And so cleave to me. It's a warning to leadership. So moms, dads, yeah, it's okay for your kids to get involved in sports, and our kids did, and to be involved in activities and play a video game every now and then if it's appropriate. But boy, when these things begin to rule us and really become an object of our addictive attention and we begin to act just like everybody. Boy, is that not an idol? Is that not an ensnaring element? We've got to be careful as leaders to guide people into a proper worship of, passion for, prioritization of the Lord God. But that's not where Joshua ended, because it said, the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. As for you, no man shall be able to stand. He encourages them, hey, keep on doing what you're doing. But I love what he warns them about in verse 11, because I think if there's any verse that resonates more with me in this chapter than another verse, it's at verse 11. Here's what it says, listeners. It says, "Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God." Can I put that in my own words? Basically, I think what God says through Joshua to these leaders is, hey, guys, your biggest enemy is you. Okay, so take a good, long, hard look at yourself and make sure that you're keeping yourself in the love of God, keeping yourself motivated by it, keeping yourself in love with him. Is that not exactly what Jude told us in the New Testament? Keep yourselves in the love of God. Is that not exactly what Jesus warned Peter about in John 21? Hey, lovest thou me? Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Remember the threefold question?
I asked there, three times.
Sure. And that is the question God asks us. It's the warning God gives us. Hey, look unto yourself, because if you're not motivated by, if you're not absorbed in the love of God, then your whole life becomes misprioritized. That's where idolatry begins. That's where the road to failure begins, with not being captured by the love of God. That's why Paul's prayer for the Ephesians was to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, to know it in its depth and length and breadth and height, to know it. That's why he said, the love of Christ constraineth us. The thing that moves me, the thing that motivates me, is love for God. Maybe that's why Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, take heed unto thyself. Why? Because the problem, the person that messes my life up more than anybody else is me.
You couldn't be more right. And it's imperative to be selfless, not only to remember that God is the one that, you know, he works the good through us, and it's all about him, but also keeping in mind that, again, talking about leaders, that we're influencing other people as well. We shouldn't be making decisions solely based off of us, solely based off of what we want to do, because leadership often is, you know, it is sacrificing your interests, your wants a lot of times. I mean, it's doing what's best for other people.
Right. So leaders, you guard your own love for God. How often do we leaders tell other people, hey, love God, but we're not guarding our own love? And that's the teaching of Deuteronomy 6, that these words that I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and then teach them diligently unto thy children. Because if all we're doing is teaching our kids to love God, but we don't love God, then our words are saying one thing, but our actions are saying something much louder, much more loudly. And you know, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And Ralph Waldo Emerson said, and he wasn't a Christian, he said, your actions speak so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. And so Joshua is saying here, hey, you better watch out, keep yourself in the love of God. And then I'll end with this thought, because then he moves into human relationships. So guard your relationship with the Lord, leaders. But then he said, and guard this danger, this temptation to intermarry with the nations around you. It's one of the greatest and the most subtlest tools of the evil one. And that is, if we don't guard our relationship with the Lord and guard our heart with the opposite sex. Why? Because show me the people that you dedicate your life to in a marriage relationship, and I'll tell you everything about the generation to come. So if I'm going to marry somebody, well, I love him, I love her. You know, we often make those excuses You know, and they're not a believer, but they don't follow my God, but they're a good guy. She's a good girl. And what God was saying is the relationships that we have in marriage produce our children, and children then bear the passion, the belief of a parent. If that belief is being mitigated, if that belief is being compromised by an unequal yoke, then you're going to have a compromised Christianity in just a couple of generations. So the Lord is warning these leaders through Joshua to say, hey, keep your love for God as the paramount motivation in your life, and then make sure that you're guarding your next most important relationships, like marriage. Why? Because that's going to govern the cause of Christianity for generations to come. So a lot of power-packed, great teaching. Old Testament, I know these people look different. They lived in a land far away thousands of years ago, but people are people. Not too much has changed. And you show me people today that don't guard their love for God, and people today that don't guard their relationships, and I'm going to show you a Christianity that's on the brink of extinction. So sober thoughts for us as leaders today. I hope that you've garnered one or two for yourself. We're well over time. I'm sorry if I made you late for work, or maybe your workout lasted a little bit longer. That wouldn't be a bad thing. But whatever the case, thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next episode. God bless you.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.